John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Further on in the chapter, verse 53. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. The end of the chapter. Verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The three simple thoughts which have come before me, and I desire to say a few words about Jesus, that blessed man that we've been hearing much about these few days, the man Christ Jesus. First of all, I would like just to bring before you the exceeding greatness of his power. We've been hearing about it. The all-sufficiency of Jesus. Then, the great necessity for his death upon the cross. And lastly, the satisfaction that is found in his blessed rest. So I hope you will bear with me just for a few minutes as we seek to have a look at these portions. Here was a very wonderful occasion. The Lord Jesus had retired to the mountain with his disciples, no doubt to have a time of quietness maybe, from his very busy life, for he was always busy, healing the oppressed, cleansing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, and many other things this blessed man did when he was here in this world. And here was this occasion when he sat with those 12 in the mountain. It says when he lifted up his eyes, there was a great multitude. A great multitude. And of course his heart being full of compassion, as it always was, He said to one of the disciples, "How are we going to get bread to feed all this company?" Just the brewer, it says, just the brewer, for he himself knew what he would do. There was resident in that blessed person the knowledge of his mighty power, that he could do whatever his mind was set upon to do. He knew. His disciples didn't, but he did. And so Philip says, "There's a lad here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, whatever it was in that respect, I didn't need it all. But you know, the lad was just at the right spot, at the right time. And that's a very important thing. If we're to be used of God, it's good for us to be in a condition of soul just at the time that the Lord wants to do something with us, that we may be used by Himself and on the spot, just at the very place He wants us to be. And you know, if we're in that condition of soul, He can use what we have. It may not be very much. We've been hearing this last day or so about the measure of grace and the measure of gift. And our dear brother John was stressing to us that every one of us has some little gift or some service to do for the Lord Jesus Christ during His absence. And so it is that if we have anything to do for Him, He'll give us grace to do it. And so here was this young lad. And he had what he had in his little basket. And the Lord took what he had. And in His all-sufficient power, He fed 5,000. He knew what He could do. He was a grand Savior, you know. Nobody needs to tell Him anything. He knows all things. And we've been hearing from dear brother that he's able to do far more abundant than all we can ask or think. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Oh, that we knew Him better. And this wonderful power that He possesses, that He's able to take even the smallest things that we have and use them for His power and for His glory. And so we see the result here, the all-sufficiency of Jesus. He takes this little lad's little basket with what's in it, and He uses it for His glory, and He feeds 5,000 and more. Now I'll just pass on, I've only got these few remarks to make. But we can put it down the chapter, of course, during the period betwixt this and what we read, there's a great argument going on with the Jews. After their fathers in the wilderness eating the manna, they say they ate manna and they're dead. But it says, "I am the bread from heaven. If a man eats of me, he shall live forever." He was God's bread. But in order to make that available, we come down to the portion we read, secondly, and He brings before us a great necessity of the death of Jesus. And you know, there's no blessings can come to us apart from His death, as we were reminded this afternoon on His resurrection. And so He says to them, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." That's a very powerful statement. And if there's anyone here in this company who thinks they can get life any other way, let me tell you, they're only being deceived. "Except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you." What does it mean? It means that I, as an individual, and you, have to appropriate what Christ has done on the cross if we are to be ever to be brought into the sphere of divine life, where we can enjoy the company of divine persons. There's no other way. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now that's the appropriation, that's the getting the life. But then after we get the life, that life has to be enjoyed. And he speaks here about dwelling in him and he in us. And that brings in Holy Communion, which is no doubt the enjoyment of this life that we receive through appropriating his death for our soul's benefit. We are brought into the sphere of divine life and joy and blessedness. And that life is maintained by feeding upon himself and keeping in mind that it was his death that brought us into this life which we now enjoy. Not only is this life to be enjoyed, but it's to be maintained. And he tells us here, as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. My dear brother and sister, there's no other way of being maintained in enjoyment of this life that you've been given to us, except we keep feeding upon the blessed Christ of God. We've read this afternoon about these men that were bringing in other things, not of Christ. And if we are to be fed and maintained and enjoy this divine life that is ours, it's only as we feed upon Christ, the true and the living bread, which came down from heaven. And then as we go on, we come to the end of the chapter. These sayings which the Lord had been speaking have been too hard for some of them. They were not prepared to take the narrow path and to follow him who has been rejected ultimately and cast out. And they said, we don't understand it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And these things had offended them. And it says that they left following him. After these things, many of them walked the old world with him. You know, the truth sometimes is very cutting and testing. And the flesh doesn't like it at all. If we seek to tell men that they're not, so to speak, worth anything before God in a natural condition, they don't like it. It's too severe for them. It's too hard for them. Man naturally likes to be thought something of and likes to make something of himself. But when we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we feel, as our brother has done before us, we're less than the least of all things. And so, as he turns around and looks at his few disciples who were following him, he says, will you also go away? Oh, the tenderness of his heart. For it must have grieved him to see them leaving him, turning away, not following him anymore. After all he had done and showed to them, how the one seemed to just be full of pity and wonder, will ye also go away? Peter comes round, of course, as he always was, very prominent in the speaking, you know, at times. And he says, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou art the words of eternal life. And you believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What a confession. What a confession. And that confession brought this divine satisfaction into their souls. My dear Christian brother and sister, there's nothing will bring real satisfaction to your soul and mine but a clear and definite exclamation in our souls that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the satisfying portion for our hearts. And now he's in the glory. The man Christ Jesus, the one who delights the heart of God, and he has now become the light of your heart and mine. And surely it's our desire, as we are left here in this scene, to seek to make him the supreme object of our hearts, and to be led by him into the secret of the Father's love and the Father's joys, and to know that the same love that rests upon him by the Father rests upon you and me. He brings us into the circle where love's treasures are displayed, and we delight just to be in his blessed company. And may the Spirit of God make it more precious to each of our hearts.
Amen.